welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Thank you for your life in the house. Thank you for what we have received, but Father, I thank you that you want to pour out much, much, much more in these moments so that we will have abounding grace, abundant grace, overwhelming grace. I thank you for every heart, every head, every hand, every mouth, every foot. Touch our lives, Jesus, for your glory and for your honor. And everybody said, amen. Amen. As you sit, just say to someone next to you, you're looking good this morning. Tell them the truth. You're looking great. You're looking joyful. Awesome. You guys doing all right? It's amazing. I just want to kind of give another notice. It's not a highlight. In one sense, it's not a slate for this. The slate is written in the Bible. The highlight is, by the time we get to time to go, you will have received from the Holy Spirit. Just give that a notice right now. That's an intentional word, phraseology right now, is that by the time we're through, even through your hat, the Holy Spirit is going to touch you. In fact, I might even say, in spite of your hat, the Holy Spirit is going to touch you. Is that the presence, the life, the energema, the dunamis of God wants to touch your life afresh. Now, I know that that's true, and I'll prove to you that it's true. Just pinch yourself. Pinch a friend. No, don't do that. If you can feel it, if you felt something, then you are flesh. And the Bible says to me, and I woke up this morning with kind of, not Billy Joel, but Joel the prophet singing to me. It might have been Billy, I don't think it was, saying, I am pouring out my spirit on. See, you're a bunch of Bible-believing Christians, so you know the word is all, which is cool. All, thank you, Stuart. Stuart's all. So I'm just making this declaration of intent, is that by the time we're done, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you because you're flesh. I think that's kind of cool. I don't know about you, but I need him to come upon my life afresh. Because I'm flesh. Because I know that in my own life, I can't do anything that's really worth a stack of beans. But with the help of God, we can do all things. Just say, we can do. Okay. So the amazing exchange that we have when we give our lives to Jesus, just simply, is that we could do nothing. And even the nothing that we did was not done very well. We were really good at not doing very much. And then suddenly, whatever day or time that was, Jesus arrested us, came into your life and my life, if you've given your life to Christ. And he didn't just come to change me or change you. He came to exchange me. Woohoo! I like that. So that the life that I used to live and the life that you used to live, the life that you sprang out of your mum with, that was exchanged as well as changed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, people in the room, for that encouraging response. But I'm just really kind of buzzing on the inside. My body is quite weary, to be honest with you. It's been an interesting few days. There's been a lot to do and only 168 hours to do it in, which is the same as everybody else has. Is that okay? But in that, and I just love this kind of insight, this kind of prophetic, poetic language that Jesus was speaking through Richard, is that I love it, that if we just give a second, eternity can be a result. I like that. That's God's economy. Just say, thank you, Jesus. That's God's economy. In other words, if we just give something, Jesus doesn't just change it, he exchanges it. I like that. So as we just prepare our hearts to receive afresh from the Holy Spirit, don't disqualify yourself this morning. Because it's got nothing to do with what we feel like or don't feel like or what we look like in the mirror of our bathroom this morning or not. Receiving the Holy Spirit is about the will and the purpose of God for you and for me. He wants you and I to receive his life and his power today. But not just to change us, to exchange us. When we were praying this morning at 9 o'clock, it was interesting. We were praying a little bit about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had a longing in his heart. He had a bit of a reputation for being a bit interesting with his financial arrangements. And he had a bit of a reputation as a result of that. You know the story of Zacchaeus. But somewhere in his heart, he heard that there was someone around who seemed to be rich but had no money. He seemed to have a wealth lifestyle, but he only had a little purse, and out of that purse, he would give things away. He heard about this man who actually never ran a hospital, but he healed everybody. He actually never had an army, but he was a general of every army. He heard about this man, Jesus, and he said, I want to seek him more. So he wanted to seek him more, so he climbed a seek him more tree. You know that story. Trying to cheer you up because it's not working. I'm going to keep going. And he climbed up into the only thing that he knew how. He was vertically challenged, all right. Let's just put it that way. So he did all he could to attain. And then Jesus came and shook his tree. I believe today Jesus wants to do the same with you and with me. He wants to come and shake our tree. He wants to come and help us to obtain what he has attained. Blake, put it there. Oh, was that you? Who was it? Was you? Look at that, United Nations. Jesus wants to come into wherever we've positioned ourselves for whatever reason. Maybe we feel as if we've got to hide from God. Maybe we feel as if we've just got to detach. It doesn't really matter how we've got in the tree. Jesus wants to shake it. He wants to shake the tree of our normality. He wants to shake the tree of our conformity. He wants to shake the tree of our nominalism. Here's a phrase for you. What we tolerate becomes our normal. And there's nothing wrong with that, in a sense, as long as the normal is God's normal, not our experience normal. So this guy, he just went into normal. He's like, I don't know what to do. There's no friends. There's nobody who I can stand on the shoulders of. I'm going to have to climb a tree. So he did the best he could with what he knew, and then Jesus came and shook it. Said, mate, I'm coming for your house for dinner. Just imagine this for a moment, if you can. Jesus walks in and says, I'm coming to your house right now for dinner. What are you going to do? Oh, what's in the freezer? Is Iceland still open? Is he a veggie? I have no idea. What's going to go? That was quite good. I have no idea what's going to go in your head. All I know is Jesus wasn't interested in the menu. He was interested in the men of the menu. That was all right, wasn't it? Jesus was interested in the seeker who was looking for him. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for Jesus today. Man, we're in a powerful time. As church, as people, as Christians, as people that either live in Worthing or in the area, Jesus is doing some powerful stuff in Worthing, let me tell you. I mean, the testimonies that are whamming into our email address and the pictures and people that got healed of this and healed of that and people that have had their hearts changed and their heads changed and their souls changed and people that have just a few little bits of what God is doing that we're recording. But Jesus is doing far more than that. Isn't he? I think he is. Most of you are nodding. You're either trying to fall asleep or stay awake, I have no idea. Or some of you remember those funny little animals that used to be on the back seat of the car. Do you remember them? But I believe it's an affirmation. We're all in the room saying, Antonio, okay. Big yawn there, mate. We're all in the room here. And Jesus is saying, I want to do more through you. I want to do more. So as we've kind of been, again, if you're in the church, you'll know that, you know, we've been reading and praying and getting to grips in the book of Acts. And I love the book of Acts. Just say the book of Acts. Now, let's just explain this. It's not the book of reacts. It's the book of Acts. It's not the book of response. It's not the book of emergency. It's not the first aid book. It's the book of Acts. And what one of the things that we just need to clarify is that the Holy Spirit wants to act upon you. I don't just mean roll out a drama in front of your life, although it can sometimes look a little bit like that. But he actually wants to, ignite something in your heart afresh today. Wherever your heart is in terms of warmth or openness or passion towards Jesus isn't really the point. The point is I want more. I want to go further. I want to get stirred a little bit. I'm not happy with being here. I want to go over there. If that's you this morning, then Jesus is going to match it and meet it. He is, because that's his promise towards you and me. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find me. Knock and the door will be open to you. I have no idea whether you're just playing hide and seek with Jesus or you're just the other side of the door with Jesus or whatever. All I know is that Jesus will answer you this morning. Not because I'm saying so, but because he's faithful. So this whole thing about the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. I believe already the Holy Spirit is coming upon some of you. And you might feel something, you may not. You might feel a bit warm. I don't know, I can make you feel warm. I can maybe rub your head. But it's easy to do that. But all I know is that if we're seeking more of Jesus, if we're seeking to see just a bit more of Jesus in our lives, then it's no good just climbing a tree and shouting. All that does is make Jesus aware that we want something, but it doesn't get it. What gets it is that we go home with Jesus. So I don't know which home you've come from. This, we call this, you know, it's the Sanditon Center, but in Bible kind of language, this is the house of God. What makes it different from the house next door? Well, hopefully it's because God's here. Well, let me just tell you, God doesn't want to stay here. He wants to go home with you. So we're just going to look at a few little bits in the Bible. So as church, we've been looking at the book of Acts and we've kind of been praying a bit and just fueling our faith, because faith comes by how? It does. Not by reading, but hearing. I'll tell you another way that you can also grow faith that I've discovered. And that's by doing something with what you've heard. Only three of us said yes. Okay, well, let's just. So faith comes by hearing the word of God. And it was great to declare some of the offering, because a lot of that is coming from the Bible. All right. But when we hear it, something happens on the inside. Confidence arises. Our vision comes off the tree into the house that we're going to meet with Jesus in instead. As we declare the word of God, suddenly the reason why we need help becomes less and the helper becomes more. Do you understand that? Because faith isn't reasonable. Faith is unreasonable. The word of God doesn't line up with the way we think. The word of God is there to help change the way we think. Thank you, Jesus. So there's this little short guy. He's a tax collector. He's a little bit of a bloke. And he says, I know, I'm going to climb a tree. And Jesus all the time is saying, I'm going to come for dinner. How do I move him from up a tree to a dinner? I know, he'll say, come down. Sometimes Jesus says really simple things to us. And we can be waiting for a whole squadron of pink, fluffy angels coming from over the coast. You know, it's just dawn, and the music changes, not that one, probably a different kind of one. But the music changes, and suddenly, oh, okay, I'll hear the Lord when Gabriel himself turns up and knocks on my door and says, hey, hello. I don't think so. I think the way that God helps us to hear and understand the voice of Jesus is by giving us the Holy Spirit and giving us his word. Why did he do that? Personally, I think it's because he knows I'm really stupid and I'm a bit of a slow learner. And I like it in black and white, unless you've got a really coloured version, which you may have. Have any of you got coloured version, like Jesus' words in red? That's because I need to be red. That's why they're in red, all right? That's why they're in red. But I just love the Bible, because I can look at that, even if in the tree of discouragement or the tree of sickness, or whether I'm in the tree of just, I just need a help. I just need Jesus to hug me. In that tree, Jesus is going to come and shake it. And he's going to say, come on then. Get over yourself. Get over yourself and get back with me. So we're going to look at a couple of things in the book of Acts. In chapter 6 particularly. I know most of you would have read the book of Acts loads and loads of times. But I don't know about you. This is me, right? I'm finding that if I just guess that I know what the Bible says, I also guess how I need to live it. It If I just assume that I know all the favourite bits of the Bible, I can also assume that I'm living in them. And actually, I'm finding that I'm not, and you probably will as well. So when the Bible says rejoice always, and again I say rejoice, it only tells us twice because we're slow. Or give thanks in all things. Say all things. Yeah, we put a little caveat in that. All things apart from my thing. No, he says all things because that's what he means. So when you, I don't know, again, if you're looking through the book of Acts, going through the reading planner, read it as though you're reading it for the very first time. Expect God to speak to you something that you've not heard before. Why? Because he wants to build faith into our heart. Not assumption, not even religion, because religion can sometimes... Jesus was not religious. He upset the religious people. Why? Because it appeared on the face of it, he was doing things that were unreasonable. But when he was challenged, he just let the word come out of him. Remember, Jesus didn't preach that in the New Testament. He was living it. And the book of Acts, again, just to remind ourselves, when Luke started to write this and then whoever finished it off, they didn't have loads of New Testament to preach on. They just had the modeling on Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Bit like you and me. We've just, this last Monday, I said it's been a bit of a busy week. We've just launched our Bible school, which is great fun. It's great fun now we started it. It wasn't so much fun this time last week when we hadn't. Great fun. So we have 50 people turn up, and they're all kinds of shapes, sizes, colours, languages, backgrounds, the lot. And they're really freaky people. They're like, what I mean by that is they come into an environment that they've never been in before. And some of them are almost going to drown. Let's just put it that way. But they keep swimming. They're a bit like ducks, you know. It all looks pretty calm above the surface. And then underneath it's like, whee, hello. Woohoo. But this is what's today? Sunday. So the whole of last week for, sorry, I'm just checking in case I'm in the wrong place. So the whole of last week, every day, God was speaking to people about a couple of things. The first one was this one. And this was just a whole new thing for me, and I've read this bit in the Bible loads of times. Jesus has judged death and found death guilty, but not you. Jesus has judged sickness and found sickness guilty, but not you. I kind of like that. That started a whole train of thoughts in my head. It's like, okay, so Jesus has judged it, which means he's decided what it is and where it's going, which means I don't have to. The punishment for that judgment of death and of sickness was put on Jesus and never on you. Now, you might think, well, yeah, I know that. Yeah, but we only know what we know when we live in it. If we're not, we think we know what we know, and then suddenly we have to make a decision. Actually, that's true. Jesus doesn't punish people through sickness. He's judged it. And he said, it's guilty, and that punishment I'm taking. Jesus doesn't judge people through depression, oppression, cancer, all that stuff. He's made a decision on it and said, you're guilty. Come to me. I'm going to take that punishment. That was the first thing. The second thing was this. This messed around my theology a bit, and it's going to mess with yours probably. Maybe not. I don't know. Some of you are brighter than me. Up until the time that Jesus went to the cross and gave his life for you and for me and shed his blood for you and for me and cried it was finished for you and for me, up to that point, not a single person that walked with Jesus could go into heaven. Not one. Not Moses, Elijah, Elisha, all these people that are really, really famous. Not one person, not one of them could enter into heaven. Which is why Jesus went to where they were and preached and opened up the door and they all came running in. I like that. is that at that moment when the cross was done, heaven was opened up. I like that. The reason why I'm speaking like this is because these people that we're going to read about in the book of Acts, they were living on the other side. Say the other side. The other side of the cross. They weren't living in the shadow of it, but they were living in the presence of the power of it. Just like you and I. But I just love these two realities. Jesus has judged death and sickness. Death says you're guilty and I'm taking your punishment. And the other one was at the point of the cross, heaven was made accessible. And suddenly Moses took his tablets and ran in. Joseph got his coat on and ran in. Jacob ran in. Because not one of them could enter into where we're going. If you know Christ, you can guarantee you're going to live in eternity where Jesus is. Whatever that looks like. I don't want to live in eternity where Jesus isn't. I want to live in eternity where Jesus is. And at the moment of the cross, it says Jesus went down and for a few days he preached, told everybody the good news, and set captives free. Well, I love it. Is anybody a slightest bit excited? I know it's 16 minutes past 11, but it's a good time to be excited. Yeah. It's all right. So we're just going to have a little wander through Acts 6. But this week's been extraordinary. Next Sunday, we've got a great privilege. We'll have about, 14 of these feisty, strange-looking people, a little bit like you and me. So they should fit in really well, right? They're all going to be rocking down here. Why? Well, because we want to have such a great time with our baptism service. We got friends, families. We got people who know Jesus. We got people that don't. We've got people that think Jesus is whatever. Who cares? Bring your friends next week. Bring your enemies. Bring your work colleagues. Because when we look at Acts 6, I want to show you through the Word of God that the Holy Spirit wants to come upon you to shake your tree and to revive your kitchen. All the women went, hooray. All the men went, where's the kitchen? But Acts 6 verse 3 says this, brothers and sisters, or body, or smart people, people that have experienced the life-changing power of Jesus, you've experienced the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit, you're part of the house, you're part of the body, you decide who is living like this. Who is it among you, it says in verse 3, who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit? I just want to pause on that word known. Because known is not because they went around saying, I'm full of the Holy Spirit, are you? Well, why aren't you? That's not how they were known. They were known because they were expressing the very life and the very nature and the very abilities of Jesus. They were known because they were men and women of faith, of wisdom, of grace, of self-control, of humility, of love, of kindness, but also power. They were people like you and me. Thanks, Frank. They were people like you and me. Up until this verse, they were people within the experience of Jesus, the experience of the Holy Spirit, and they were learning on their journey. Let's just put this. They were ordinary in the terms of they were filled with the power and the presence of Jesus. They weren't supermen. They didn't run around the kitchen with their pants outside their trousers. They were just living for Jesus. But they were known to, you've just got that one. They were known to be people of diligence. They were people of discipline. They were people who had their life changed. It's like one minute, man, their life was a mess. And then suddenly it seems to be getting sorted. Why? Because they'd given their lives to Christ. We have to think the situation around there. They didn't have loads of conferences, thank God. They didn't have loads of smartphones or stupid phones. All they had was, I've given my life to Jesus. And something that was old has now been exchanged for something that was new. I didn't know anything. Now I know that I didn't know anything, but now I know someone that can give me everything. And I've received the very power of the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus said I would. That's all they knew. Two things were dominant around this time. One, They'd all received the gift the Father had promised. What is the gift? The gift is the person of God, the Holy Spirit. They were full of gift potential. But also they'd given their lives as a gift to Jesus. You see, we've come out of a weekend where there was a lot of gifting in operation, particularly the gift of healing. Great. Well, I saw it on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And guess what? I'm going to see it again today. Because it's not about me being the gift. It's about the gift I've been given. And it's true for you too. Because the gift is Jesus. And these guys suddenly realized it. They were rocking up. They were praying in tongues. Yes, tongues. Well, I don't pray in tongues. Get over yourself. Shake the tree. Get out of it. Well, I don't like it. I don't care whether you like it. Shake the tree. Paul said, I want everybody to pray in tongues. Oh, well, that's everybody except me. Why are you so special? Well, that makes me look stupid. I don't need any help. All right, I can look stupid without that. But I need in my heart the utterances, the messages that only the Spirit knows. I need the faith that the Holy Spirit has. I need the Holy Spirit to change my character, not just give me gifting. So the awesome thing about these guys, these seven men were just amongst the crowd. There could have been seven others, but it was these. They were all full of wisdom, grace, self-control, power, gentleness, love. But they were also all prophesying and healing. But it was in the kitchen. They had a distribution need. It was like Tesco's had got to its full potential. And suddenly we need to reallocate some people because there's more needs than we can supply like this. So what did they do? They took them out the people that they had. Jesus took the people out, the people he had. Not the people he didn't have. Jesus said, I've got people like that who are more than just talking it, they're walking it as well. Jesus looks across and actually, there's a need here. Didn't surprise him, of course, because he knew it was coming. He was just waiting for the people to say, Jesus, give us a hand. We need some help here. And he said, well, use the people that are living the life in the Spirit. And they did. They chose seven. I think there's more than seven in this room like that. I think there's more than seven in this room like that. Because we're all living this side of the cross. If you've received the Holy Spirit, then this is also true. If you haven't, it can be in a minute. We've all received the Holy Spirit. Then this is true for us too. Isn't it? And certain things happened in the book of Acts that are just mindful of the time. God does want to heal some people and set some people free. It says in verse 3, brothers, choose seven men. I've just read that. We will turn this responsibility over to them. Here's a second little motivational thing. I believe as people, God wants to give us more responsibility for the health and the climate and the culture of Worthing. What I don't mean necessarily is that we all get a brush and start sweeping up the street. Although for some of you, if that's what God says, do it. What I'm saying is that with the presence of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, even us, even you and even me, God is saying, I'm giving you responsibility over your town, over your kitchen, over your workplace, over your home place, over your journey place. I'm giving that responsibility to you because you're going to rise in that. You're going to grow in that. You're the watchman. You are my person. You're my ambassador, if I can use that word, in that place. Don't look for another. Just find me there. Don't climb a tree because I'm going to shake you out of it. Be a tree for someone else to climb. Ooh. Why? Because aren't we supposed to be oaks of righteousness? And what do you do with those? You climb them. I love you. I forgive you. So this is what happens. I'm going to give them responsibility. Verse 5, this proposal pleased the whole group. And they chose these seven characters. They presented them to these men of God who prayed for them and laid their hands on them. What happened here? What I believe personally, my own personal conviction, is these seven people said, yeah, I'm going to be an offering for Jesus today. I'm going to shake normality, conformity, and what I know, and I'm just going to lay it at the feet of Jesus afresh. Because in the Old Testament, when you laid your hands on something, it meant something. It still does. It still does. And they were saying, oh no, I've been diligent and I've been faithful and God's been using me, and I'm so thankful, so appreciate the presence of Jesus and the work of the cross and the power of the Holy Spirit, but I want to give myself more. Doesn't necessarily mean do more. It usually means do smart. But I just know there's something else that Jesus wants to do in my life. And it's not going to come because you keep asking. It's going to come because you give yourself. Who understands that? Some of you might be thinking, I'm really, really busy. My answer to that is, but are you really, really fruitful? Because busy and fruitful aren't even spelt the same. And they certainly don't mean the same. These guys were really, really fruitful. Which is why when I said pick seven, it was like, yeah, we know they are. And then guess what happened? They lay hands on them and they became like the offering. The people were saying, God's going to fix this. Jesus is going to come through. The Holy Spirit is going to come through. And guess what? People started to get fed. But also, lots of priests came to know Jesus. Now, I always chuckle when I read that. Because you'd have thought that a priest would have known God. Okay, don't answer that one. But you would have done, right? But the point is this, is that when they positioned themselves, the word of God spread. In other words, God multiplied the seed. The seed is like my word. There were more people talking more about Jesus and living more about Jesus than there was before. Direct result. The number of disciples in Jerusalem began to increase. Not converts. Disciples. Jesus didn't come to make converts. He came to make disciples of the converts. Do you understand that? And there's a big difference. It's not enough to say my life belongs to Jesus and then not live for him. I've got to say my life belongs to Jesus and give it to him every day. And then the third thing, the evidence I see in here, is that a large number of priests became obedient to faith. I like that too. I think there are many, many, many people that you know, many people that might hate you, might love you, might be friends, it doesn't really matter. What I know is that the potential within them is that they can serve the living Jesus. They can serve in the house of the Lord. But how do they do that? By letting the Holy Spirit shake our tree. I want to see more of Jesus. I don't know what it means. Don't know what it looks like. I don't know if it's going to work in my time frame. Jesus will change your time frame. He won't give you more hours. He's already done that. He could do it again, but I don't think he will. What he'll do is he'll make more out of the hours we've got. Like the Lord was saying right at the beginning, remember that? Have you got that somewhere? That thing you have. Is that if we shed a tear, he shows you where there's an ocean. That. So I believe now, right now, the Holy Spirit wants to come and shake your tree. I don't know what that's going to mean. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know if I can read this writing. I don't know what it's going to look like. All I know is if we, in the sincerity of our hearts, and you alone will know this. In the sincerity of the heart, it's like, Jesus, I want to see you. You will see him. But you won't see him like he was. You'll see him like he is. Jesus is not a little baby in a manger saying, where's my mum? He's not a carpenter making yokes. He's not a little 12-year-old lost in a synagogue. He is now the Son of God glorified. who is high and lifted up, the Lord of Lords and the King of Glory. That's who Jesus is. And we kind of got a little glimpse, a little microcosm glimpse of who he was for a moment a bit earlier in our worship. But I want more of that. I want to live every day with more seconds like that. Is anybody else in the room like that? Right. Then I need him to shake my tree. Because my tree isn't going to do it. Let's all stand up, shall we? I'm just going to read this out again because this really touched my heart. Hopefully it has yours. Is that if we give Jesus a tear, he'll give us back an ocean. If we give him a second, he can make an eternity out of that. If we just give him an atom, he can make a whole universe out of that. And he has. We could give him an inch, and he'll show us how far the east is from the west, which never happens. We give him an ounce, and he will tell you how much the world weighs. I mean, Connie might be able to do that already, actually, to be honest. We give him just a handful of what seems of no value and of no consequence. Richard actually used the word dirt. But Jesus will take it and make life out of it. Let's just close our eyes, shall we? It does all go dark, but that's fine. We're not afraid of the dark. Because there is a bright light called Jesus that shines inside of us. I don't know if you've made that decision in your own heart. I just want to see Jesus. If you have, then I believe the Holy Spirit is going to help us to see him more this week than we saw him last week. I remember 3 weeks ago, and Andrew brought this really powerful sentence in the middle of his message that says, Jesus sometimes hides in the open. In your kitchen. I don't just mean literally your kitchen, but where you just have your time with God. Jesus wants to invade that. I'll use that word. He wants to dwell in that place because what he does in private, he demonstrates in public. He wants to dwell in your kitchen, in your back room, in the nobody sees it time. He wants to increase that time. He wants to accelerate that time. He wants to enlarge what he does in that time. Because when you meet with Jesus in private, they begin to see it in public. Equally, if we don't, they don't. And I believe we're in this season where, like God said to Moses, there will be difference between those that are my people and those that aren't. And it's not because they all disappear in a strange building once a week. It's because they're living for somebody else. They're not living for themselves. Anybody here want to live for God a bit more? Just put your hands up. Let's just raise our hands. Holy Spirit, I thank you right now. I thank you that you've judged sickness and you've found it guilty and you've taken the punishment of sickness upon yourself. Sickness doesn't belong to anybody in this room. Doesn't belong to your body. Doesn't belong to your house. Doesn't belong to your children. You've taken it and you've defeated it, demolished it, and broken the power of it. Sin has been judged, and it doesn't belong to people in this room. You've taken it, you've judged it, and you've broken the power of it, not just for now, but forever. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, I thank you right now that you just come upon all of the flesh in this room, in J24/7, upstairs in United, round the corner in the creche. Your word says that your spirit will come upon young and old, men and women, free and slave. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you just want to use people. And I want to be used by you in this week more than I've ever seen before. I want to see Jesus more than I've ever seen him before. I want to be more obedient to him than I've ever been before. I want to see your power at work more than I've ever done before. I am not content with what I've seen or touched or tasted. When you're saying there's more, when you're saying you're abundant, when you're saying there's greater, I want to see the glory of God in the land of the living. I don't just want to come on a Sunday. I want Sundays to move with me for the rest of the week. I thank you for healings in the workplace. I thank you for miracles and over the fence. I thank you for the power of God to be at work increasingly. I thank you that you not only give us gifts, the gift of the Holy Spirit, but you also change us. And Lord, I want to be different. I want to be more like you, Jesus. I need your help. I want to get rid of all those bad habits, distraction, destructional things. I don't have to live under the influence of those anymore. Shake the tree. Shake my standards. Shake my experience. Because I know as a result, I'm going to see you in my home. I want to see you in my home. Hallelujah. Anybody praying that kind of prayer? You can kind of pray it out in your own words if you want to. Let's just all pray out together. Jesus can hear everybody. He's really smart. Come on, he hears the heart as well as the mouth. Come on, if you really want to see more of Jesus, and just let him know. Just spend a couple of minutes just expressing that in whatever way. Oh, Jesus, I just want to see you in my family.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.